So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL,
now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
Blythe Brumley, and Lauren Rue.
We are live from iFly at the Town Center for the soft opening that's going on, and the machine is cranked up. And two of the ladies have been in the wind tunnel. We're going to get to the Jaguars in just a second. But ladies, describe the experience for us, please.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, anything short of phenomenal, I think, is an understatement. I mean, you're literally flying.
My back is a little sore already. So he said you should feel it generally later. And our instructor, Aaron, who will join us later, he was great because I was the only one in the class right now. So I got to do a lot.
Boo.
I know.
I'm jealous.
I know. But, yeah, he suggested go home and stretch and take a nice warm bath.
So it's a little bit of exercise.
Yeah, it's more than you think. It's definitely more
than you think. Yeah, because you have to keep – they say you have to put your body in an X shape. And depending on the positioning of your hand, you can turn, you can twist, and you can go a little crazy if you don't have the instructor in there. Now, if you're a more experienced flyer, I think if you have more than five flies, you can actually do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to train and do all the tricks. And they have an instructor earlier that was pretending to be Spider-Man. And it was really, really cool.
And anyone with long hair, put it in a tight braid. Because mine looks, I mean, a little messy, but at least it's not knots.
Well, I think it's awesome. I'm proud of you guys. We are right by Topgolf, by the way. That's where the brand new iFly building is. You can look for the indoor skydiving right on the building. And then you can't miss it and certainly can come experience it. We are here until 8 p.m. tonight. We do have two special guests coming up, but first let's get to a little Jaguars. Lauren Rue, you proposed this question.
I did, yes.
Leonard Fournette or Jalen Ramsey?
I will gladly set this up for you ladies to debate and pick your poison, if you will. Two guys who were very high draft picks for this team. One who's been extremely available, the other not so much. One who's had his fair share of games that he's missed, whether it's due to injury or other extracurricular activities. The other one gets very criticized for being highly critical of other people. You only get to pick one. One stays on the defense where most of the money has been spent for the Jaguars team. The other is on a very, very depleted offense and can be better if he is available. So the question you pose, you get to keep one, Leonard Fournette or Jalen Ramsey. Lauren Brooks, you get to go first.
Oh, okay, sure. For me, it's easy. One guy, like you said, available. One guy is also a lockdown corner and is one of the best at his position in the NFL. Leonard Fournette, even if he'd been healthy, I think, this season, we're still not looking at him as near the top of the rest of the guys in the NFL at running back. And it's so incredibly frustrating because he has so much potential, but he hasn't showed it. And the vision is the one thing that I thought when watching him a lot at LSU, I thought he was going to be very good because of that. But it seems like that's what he's really lacking. And so for me, it's a very simple thing. Jalen Ramsey, attitude, sure, whatever. But on the field, he does everything you could ever ask for. At least when the call gets communicated to him. That's really the only time that we've been able to criticize
him all season. The miscommunication has been the only...
I'll be surprised, honestly, if anybody else picks against Jalen Ramsey.
Y'all know which way I'm going.
Team Jalen till she dies.
Team Jalen without a doubt. I mean, he just brings a swagger to this team that is unmatched. I think in the NFL, as far as the swagger, they talked about whenever he was missing OTAs for the birth of his child, that when he came back to the squad, that when he walked on the field, everybody upped the ante a little bit. The trash talking started increasing. The intensity of the play started increasing. He brings that level of eliteness to the team that Fournette doesn't bring. And Fournette, he might have some great moments, some great flashes. He might be funny to follow on social media and roast his teammates and things like that. But what matters to me is the results on the field. And he's plain and simple, he's not getting it done. He's missing his medical treatments. He's missing a team photo. You know, a lot of people, especially like national media wise, they want to say Jalen Ramsey's not a team player, but he does everything you want out of a team guy on the field. And he's also involved, heavily involved in charitable contributions here in the Jacksonville community.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say Leonard Fournette, mm-hmm. just because the offense is so bad, you right. don't know who is to blame. Because obviously we took away Nathaniel Hackett, and it's even gotten worse. I don't know how that can happen, but the offense has gotten worse. So obviously, yeah, the answer here is Jalen Ramsey. You want to have, I mean, one of the important, most important positions, and one that, you know, ticks me off so much when I watch other teams play is actually have a corner that turns around and looks for the ball, and Jalen actually does that. So.
By the way, I can explain to you how it's happened, how it's gone worse from Hackett to Milanovic. It's not necessarily the play calling. It's the quarterback and everything else around him,
it's
on the entire
bad.
Offense. Cody Kessler, for as much as we hoped he was going to be better than Blake Bortles, he hasn't been. So that's
bad.
Where, yeah, no matter who the play caller is right now, it's just going to be a disaster with Kessler back there.
Now, listen, we all want to say Leonard Fournette, as you mentioned, because this offense needs something. They need somebody they can at least rely on. The defense is so stacked, and they have had their fair share of problems throughout the season. I think some of that is a direct reflection of how poor the offense has played. I think that just wore down on them over time. Not an excuse per se, but over time that's what happens when you feel like you don't have an offense that's going to bail you out at any point. But the reality is they may have both of them when this thing's all said and done. So offensively speaking, let me ask you this. Does Leonard need to hang around then? Should they hold on to Leonard?
I'd trade him if I could. I mean, just because of the running back position, it's not his fault he was drafted at that high of a draft slot. It just comes down to philosophy on how you want to build an offensive game plan for your football team. But if teams are wanting a running back, I'd trade him. For sure.
I want to see what he can do with a good offensive line. With a line that actually makes holes and creates holes for him. That's what I would like to see.
Well, he has to be available to be there to run through those holes. I think that's the biggest knock against him.
Everything changes. Like, look at the Saints, for instance. Everything changes when you have a vertical passing game. Your running lanes are much more open because there's an actual threat that the quarterback can complete a pass, right? Without a quarterback who has that good downfield passing game, you're not going to see, no matter how good the offensive line is, you're not going to see a running back get what he can gain because there's going to be 8 men in the box and there's just not going to be those lanes. So Leonard Fournette, I think, needs a much better quarterback and certainly improved pass catchers here in Jacksonville for us to really be able to evaluate him. But then the question is, right, is he going to be healthy? You know, he dropped weight this offseason, so I thought, oh, for sure, that's going to keep the muscles even leaner. He's going to be able to stay healthy, not have the ankle injuries. And, of course, right off the bat in week one, he goes down with that hamstring injury, so it didn't really help at all. But I've only been to 2 games as a fan this season and really only a few the past couple years because of kind of media stuff. But you get to go to every single Jaguars game as a fan. You said this week that the Jaguars are being hammered for their game day experience. A, why? And B, what would you do to improve it?
Well, they've been hammered for a few times. And I pitched this story before about the game day experience and how it's really gone downhill as far as a fan perspective is concerned. And it's not just the mobile ticketing, because I whined and complained in the offseason about the pain of moving to mobile ticketing and how it was going to take forever to get into the stadium. But it's not just that. It's the security protocols. Whenever you're walking in, they're searching random things. They're searching wallets, for God's sakes. As if that, you know, maybe they're looking for drugs. I don't know what they're looking for. But they're literally searching through wallets at certain gates. It's not consistent throughout the entire stadium. There was an incident over the weekend, too, where a fan who was insulin-dependent, diabetic, she actually missed the first quarter of the game because there was no signage, no instruction on where if you have medical reasons for bringing things into the stadium, you have to go through a special medical tent. And there was no clear signage about where she was supposed to go. So she ended up missing the first quarter of the game. I know several female fans who have missed part of the game because the purse that they brought in was an inch too long and they weren't going to allow it in. The first preseason home game, I left at halftime and I still saw women in line exchanging their purses, putting their bag at will call, missing the game because of having to go through this additional security. So it's
I will say it's been the clear bag policy for a while and there are free clear bags at places. So as long as people pay attention,
but it's not consistent.
It's
one security guard says, yeah, that's fine for you to take that in, or this one is not clear. This bag is not clear enough. So I don't know if there's not a level of communication and consistency just with security. The food options inside the stadium have gone severely downhill. They used to have a bunch of food trucks. They used to have a food truck court outside of the stadium for you to go and you to have different food options and entertainment options. And you could go and you can hang out if you didn't have any tailgate plans, and you could hang out in those areas and then go inside the stadium. The food options have gone down. The fan service areas, they got rid of the AC benches, which is not so much of a problem now, but earlier in the season, they used to have an AC bench. An AC bench
is air conditioning.
Air conditioning bench. Hmm. Yes, where you can go and you can cool off. So on those 110 degree game days,
and there were a bunch of them, yeah,
three of them in a row in September. You don't have access to those as a fan to go and cool off. And then specifically in our section, the south end zone, they have this area where you would stand at the very top. And it was almost like a wind tunnel. So you could go up there and you could cool down with the wind tunnel and stay out of the and go into the shade. And they replaced that with the dog park. So you can guess how that's really gone on with the fan, or how that's gone over with the fans.
Has anyone asked the dogs how they're enjoying the dog park?
Nobody cares about the dogs. They care about the result of the game on the field. And I would also say the in-game entertainment as well. It feels very, very, I'm a big military supporter. I don't want this to come off as wrong, but half a dozen military celebrations within the game is too much. It's overkill. And you need to provide different entertainment options during the game that doesn't have to do with just the military. And I think it's just all of these things combined plus a losing situation.
It makes it incredibly worse
because there's no distraction and there's no good food that you can go get. There's a great tequila and bourbon bar, which has come in mightily handy this season, dealing with all of these losses. But when you combine all of these different efforts, it's not a smooth experience. There used to also be giveaways before every single home game. That hasn't been the case for years. I think this season we got two giveaways as far as season ticket holders were concerned. So it's just one of those things that's just step it up. Like, the Jags have let it slide for a couple years now. They increased our season ticket prices. The product on the field is crap. And then you have combining all of these other efforts or lack of efforts, and it sucks. And it just makes people want to watch the game from home.
I like the military celebrations myself, but I also know that the team partnered with Camp Grunt Style, and
but there's
that's
six
founded
of them.
By the military.
That's a lot. That's a lot for a
football
game.
What would
you
want instead, I guess?
Anything, literally anything else. Offer a bunch of different entertainment options. Play some more videos on the screen. The Jaguars have a great video department that can make more of their video mixes and play those during the in-game entertainment. When you pay for a football game, that's what you should get. You should get football entertainment. And the Jags have never had as many military celebrations that they have now has never been the case. The past two seasons, and we all know why they're doing it, they're trying to get those fans back who protested against the anthem. That's
well,
the only reason why they're doing it.
The big partnership, too, the Camp Grunt Style is a huge sponsor, and I think they sponsor all of those, which that
makes
sense.
But it was the
last
season, too, and Grunt Style didn't come on until this season. So it's too much.
I think they came on last season, but they expanded, and they're sponsoring a lot more of those celebrations. I know, what are the other ones that they do? They do the Dance for a Diamond, which I love. And then are there any other ones that they have the kind of the fans on camera for? I know, I love the Dance for a Diamond.
Yeah, they do a Dance for a Diamond usually in the third or the fourth quarter, when if you're dancing while the Jaguars are getting creamed, what?
Bring back. I need.
Seriously.
Have they ever had the kiss cam?
They used to.
Yeah.
I think teams started getting in trouble for using that. I think it was an NBA team in particular that got in trouble, so a lot of teams have sort of gone away from that. My point is that the Jaguars,
It's an entertainment experience. People don't just go for football, and if you're going for football and the team is as bad as they are, you need other reasons to go. I get that.
And a variety of entertainment options, not just, and again, I support the troops. I don't think you have to go out there and scream it, but it also doesn't have to be something that's sort of like American pride, like shoved down your throat. Like, I'm here to watch a football game, not, you know, be encouraged to join the military.
Well, the most exciting thing that happened in Sunday's game, Dede Westbrook's punt return for a touchdown. So congratulations to the Mills family, who won $100,000 towards a Dream Finders home as a part of the Take It to the House promotion. And of course, if you find a Dream Finders home model home, you can register for the Take It to the House promotion for next season. So make sure you do that, because you also could win $100,000. When we come back, we are going to chat with Diana Hall, the president, COO, and founder of Active Armor, which is a better way to have a cast on your arm or wherever else. I guess I've always had a cast on my arm, but I guess wherever else you have to have a cast, a more hygienic and more comfortable solution to traditional casts. So we are going to chat with her and also get into expensive clothing. That's all coming up next as Helmets and Heels Built by Dreamfinders Homes is live from iFly, the brand new indoor skydiving facility at the Town Center. You're listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Lauren Rue, Donna Murphy, Blythe Brumleaf, and Lauren Brooks with you live from iFly at the Town Center, the newest indoor skydiving facility to come to the Southeast. And now we are joined by Diana Hall, the president, COO, and founder of Active Armor, which I guess would come in handy if you were actually skydiving and you had some sort of incident. Hello, Diana.
Hi, I'm not sure I could save you if that happened.
Yeah, only if it was like that that hang gliding incident that happened over in Sweden and the guy only ended up hurting his wrist, which
I know,
I've had a broken
amazing.
Wrist.
That was amazing. Yeah,
what,
I
did
saw
you see that
video?
Terrifying. Oh, my God. Terrifying.
Yeah. Well, luckily, indoor skydiving is much safer. So tell us about Active Armor and how you came up with it.
Sure. So Active Armor is the first commercially available 3D printed cast and splint in the U.S. consumer marketplace. It's a plastic, waterproof, breathable cast that is custom fit to every single patient. It's being used by professional athletes across the country and just regular people, especially kids and elderly folks and athletes all over the country. So it's just the same plastic as your toys. And so you can wear it in the shower, you can swim, bathe, shower. You can also go and play your sports. You can continue to compete. You can ice bath with it and shower after, and you can sweat in them. So they're a great alternative to casts and splints. You can wear them, doctors are prescribing them for acute injuries like breaks and sprains, as well as for chronic conditions like carpal tunnel. It's a really nice alternative and a high-tech option for casting and splinting.
Diana, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The way I came up with it, I know you asked that question too. So the way I came up with it is I'm a chemical engineer. I went to Colorado School of Mines, and I have been working with 3D printing and technology and software for a long time. And after I had worked in Fortune 500 companies for a long time, I started running a mentoring program for children in poverty. And when I did that, they would come in with domestic violence, substandard living conditions, and they'd often have filthy casts. They would just play on the playground or, you know, just regular life, and they would end up getting their cast wet and dirty. One child ended up with bed bugs in hers. It was just a nightmare. And one little boy, he couldn't keep his cast outside the shower in a bag to keep it dry, and he ended up getting it wet. And they didn't have transportation, and he didn't want to get in trouble, so he didn't tell. And he ended up with permanent scarring on his arm. So as an engineer, I knew that there was a better alternative technology-wise, and I wondered why it wasn't available to the American consumer to be able to wear these waterproof, breathable, hygienic casts. So I worked on the design, worked on the regulatory issues, as well as the business model problems so that I could make them commercially available to the American consumer. So we have now hundreds of patients wearing them across the country. We just opened up our sixth clinic, which is right here in Jacksonville, JOI, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the San Marco location. And so they're going to be providing Active Armor to anyone in the entire region who wants this waterproof, breathable alternative. They just need to bring a prescription from their doctor or make an appointment at JOI to be able to get this instead of your traditional cast.
Diana Hall is president and COO of Active Armor, joining us here on Helmets and Heels, Built by Dreamfinders Home. Diana, I broke my arm in the second grade, and I broke my arm in the third grade. One time I could wear a cast, the other time I couldn't because of the break and where it was. But I remember when wearing that cast, the time I broke the bone, it itched so bad. I remember sticking a coat hanger down there, and both my parents worked at the medical field and nearly lost their minds and were like, do not do that. I'm like, I can't help it. It itches so badly. I am assuming with this new technology, that's not even an issue?
No, not at all. The reason that you got itchy is because you couldn't shower regular. I mean, you couldn't wash underneath it. So if you have a plastic cast that has holes in it and it's breathable, you can just shower like normal. So you don't get all that skin breakdown and that itch and the bacteria trapped under there. So it's just as hygienic as if you weren't wearing one. So you can if you look at our website on ActiveArmor.com, you will see pictures of them, and you'll see patients wearing them, including professional athletes. And you'll see that it's a great alternative, and I'm sure you're going to see a lot of people just wearing them around town here soon.
Dan, I've read that 3D prosthetic limbs make sort of, I guess, obtaining them a little bit more affordable for those who usually wouldn't be able to get one. Is that the case with the 3D casts and splints?
The 3D printed casts and splints are in the same price range as the traditional splints. So that when you'd go in there and you would get one applied with Velcro and heat it up and squish to your skin, it would be the exact same price as that and also covered by insurance. So you can call JOI and they will give you the exact price amount as per whatever your insurance company is.
Do people sign these like they do traditional casts?
You can. These are breathable, so they do have holes in them so that, you know, it lets your skin breathe. But any type of a Sharpie will work fine on it.
There you go. That was always the coolest thing. And can you get them in different colors?
Yes, we have 11 colors, silver, red, blue, all the traditional colors. And you can see the list on our website.
What's the most popular one? Do you know?
Well, in Jacksonville, I mean, everybody likes the black and the teal, you know. So, and then we have any color that you would like, though. In Colorado, of course, the dark blue and the orange are the famous ones.
Showing your team pride with that. That's cool.
That's right.
Now, Diana, you did mention that we keep talking about casts, but you do more for just fractures or dislocations.
Right. So we do for both. Doctors are prescribing them for acute injuries like breaks and sprains, but they're also prescribing them for chronic conditions like carpal tunnel. So you can have it be a removable option like a splint, or you can have it be a permanent option like a cast. So it's really up to your doctor as to what you need the prescription for.
And Diana, you did mention insurance does cover Active Armor.
That's correct. And you can call Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, JOI, and they will tell you specifically what it will be to you with your insurance.
And who are the people that kind of get the most benefit from getting an Active Armor cast or splint?
So athletes are really appreciating them because they can continue to sweat and train and compete in the Active Armor cast that they can't do in a traditional one. So they're appreciating it a lot. But then also pediatrics and the parents of kids who, you know, they're trying to keep their cast outside of the shower in a bag. That's always hard to do in the smell and the itch, like you were saying. So parents of kids and the kids themselves, I mean, I had a patient who just, I really saved her summer because she got a new swimming pool in the backyard and then broke her arm the first day of summer. So it really spans the gamut, as well as people who have diabetes, who have skin issues, and the elderly folks who have that thinning skin and they really just don't want that fabric that's trapping bacteria against their skin and to have that those splints for carpal tunnel. This is a really nice alternative for those folks.
Well, Diana, I think it's fantastic that you used your engineering to be able to create something that really is so much more beneficial for, like you said, athletes and kids especially. I remember when I had a cast and I couldn't go swimming and I cried every single day. So thank
right.
you for creating this awesome thing.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I really hope that it helps a few people, and I'm excited to bring it here to the South Coast because we are literally just have opened up our sixth clinic across the country, and it's going nationwide, so we're excited. And if you want to see where we're expanding to, and if you would like to have Active Armor in a clinic near you, just go ahead and check out our website at activearmor.com.
Absolutely. And here in Jacksonville, head to joi.net. It is available at the JOI San Marco office. And you guys got in connection with Dr. Kaplan from the Jaguars, who we know well. So thank
That's
you, Diana.
That's right. And that is right. And we are fitting professional athletes right now.
Awesome. Well, again, it is called Active Armor. And we have really learned so much just in the last few minutes on this product. So thanks again for joining us, Diana.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, you too. That is Diana Hall, the president, COO, and founder. That's a lot of titles of Active Armor. You know, some things in life you learn are really expensive. Like when I grew up and my parents had to tell me how much they spent on me in braces, mm-hmm. How much contacts, glasses and contacts and all that stuff cost. So I think I learned from a young age that I didn't like to spend a lot of money on things because sometimes things that are inevitable cost a lot. So you should spend less on, you know, voluntary things. Well, this past weekend I went to a formal wedding and I ordered a dress that was much less expensive online and I hated it. So I finally broke down and 2 days before the wedding went to Nordstrom and just bought a dress. And it wasn't that expensive, but for me, to spend over $200 on one clothing item is a lot. So it made me ask y'all the question. Don, I'll start with you. What is the most expensive clothing item that you've purchased?
Can I just say my wedding dress? Can I use that as an excuse?
You can, and then I want something that you also
wore for, like, not just 4 hours.
Yeah.
Unless you've put it on since then.
Because that, I mean, wearing something that's more expensive, like, I get, you know, I try to shop with cheapo jeans and, you know.
Regular jeans.
I'm a normal jeans. Yes, my normal jeans that I'm wearing right now.
Congratulations. I'm so glad.
Nope, I'm the only one with normal
with
jeans.
Normal
here.
Jeans.
Well, Tyler has normal jeans on. So,
but he's a dude, so that doesn't count.
But no, I'm a Target shopper. And I'm proud of it.
Well, you've been to some formal events with your husband, some military stuff, right? Did you ever buy anything expensive for that?
No, that would probably be New York and Company dresses or whatever. So.
She is smart with her money.
Yeah.
A frugal shopper.
Yeah, no.
All right, then I'll say you can say wedding dress, but Lauren Rue, you cannot say wedding dress.
Fair enough. I didn't pay for my wedding dress either, so that would not be fair. So I don't have clothing. Nothing comes to mind. I'm really an inexpensive shopper all the way across the board. But I did spoil myself and bought myself a very nice purse when I went to Italy a few years ago for our anniversary. It was one of those items that I don't need, but I've always wanted, and I found myself going, okay, they're less expensive in this part of the world because they're made in Paris, so you don't get the marked up American version, if you will. Plus, you get your tax back when you go back to the airport, and YOLO. So I bought myself a very, very nice purse and spent entirely too much money, and it most of the time sits in a bag in my closet because I don't like to carry it a whole lot of times. But that was my big splurge, my, oh my God, I'm doing this. I'm just not even going to think twice about it and buy it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. With a lot of my clothes, they are pretty much Amazon specials. And I have a couple friends that own like clothing boutiques, and they get mad at me and they ask me, well, where is this from? Is this from Amazon? I said, yeah, it usually is. The most expensive things that I usually buy as far as like clothing wise is usually shoes. And I don't even know if that counts.
Well, no, it does. And my mom always says is your
Well, purse doesn't
like
really count in clothing whatsoever. So it's shoes can absolutely count.
Yes, accessories. But right, your shoes, you're supposed to, I mean, it, like, how miserable are you in cheap pairs of shoes? Sometimes it works, but sometimes it's like the perfect shoe. And
it took me a long time to realize this. Like nice boots, nice sneakers, mm-hmm. like those, if you spend the extra money on those,
there's
you end up taking care of them. Yeah. You wear them for years, and then you can just spend, you know, I with my outfits, I cycle through them so quickly that it just makes sense to spend $10 or $15 on a shirt versus, you know, going to Nordstrom or to, you know, a high-end boutique and spending, you know, $100 on a plain white t-shirt. I saw one of my girlfriends do that one time, and
insane.
I thought it was moronic.
Oh, yeah.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get it to some people who had moronic takes on a football analyst and our favorite unique Christmas traditions as well as adventures since we are here at iFly. We are Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010 XL and 82.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, finds us on the road again, ladies. This is
yep.
like two or three weeks in a row. We love being out and about with our listeners. And today we find ourselves at iFly, the indoor skydiving facility. It is incredible to watch people get inside this tube. Every time I see somebody get inside this tube, I can't help but think about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and the bubble burping
yes.
tank. And they get too close to the fans and you start burping and find your way down. You don't have to worry about that part of it, but I promise you, you'll have flashbacks to that movie if you come check that out. And we encourage you to do that. We'll be here until 8 o'clock. And if you stay tuned, we will tell you how you can win a family four-pack that Helmets and Heels will be giving away in just a little bit.
Oh, look
so,
at that.
So that's a tease for you right there, ladies. At the end of the segment, I'll give you some details on that. All right, Amy Trask, who I'm going to say she's a friend of the program because she did respond to a tweet that I said about inviting her on, and she liked it and
yes,
replied with,
that counts.
Yes, it absolutely counts. She is a football analyst for CBS Sports. She has been part of all things NFL and the business side of things, and she finds herself in a position that maybe some of us can relate to. So she was on what she says is a video. I can only assume was a TV broadcast of some sort. And she sends this tweet out yesterday. She says, there is a video of me circulating, and there have been comments that my hair looks horrible. Quote, and it does. I share this to let kids know that, and I'll just throw this part in, women or anybody else, know that if they are insecure about their appearance, as was I and still am, they should not let that insecurity, let their insecurities stop them from pursuing their dreams. She got tons of feedback on that, people who are being extremely supportive and saying, you know what, I have insecurities as well, and hang in there, you do a great job. And she replies with that with, it doesn't bother me that this person commented or these people commented on my hair, but I want to let other people know that that shouldn't stop you if you want to be on television, that this idea, this figment of having to be perfect and perfect hair and makeup and all the things that come with it, it doesn't always have to be that way, that there is a place for you if you don't look perfect. So I open it up to the floor here. Everybody's been in the media of some sort, whether it's TV or magazine or whatever it is. Have you ever received negative comments?
She looks at you, by the way, Donna, when she says magazine.
Yes, because I got a word about you being the swimsuit model for Content XL.
I told her about that. So that's why she looks right at you when she said magazine.
Magazines. we've all been in some kind of spotlight. Have you had any feedback like this? And if so, what have you done with it?
I mean,
and if you haven't, that's okay too.
Not that I know of, to be honest. But if it were just one random person on the internet has something to say, who cares? Like, it's what somebody else thinks to me is none of my business. And unless that person is close to me, is a family member, or is, you know, somebody that is, I respect their opinion. If it's just a perfect stranger on the internet, I'm not going to waste my time and energy worrying about this. And from the looks of it, I mean, I love Amy Trask, but from the looks of it, with this particular situation, she was responding to one guy who made one comment, and he responded back to her, I wasn't talking about you, I was talking about the guy in the video.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It wasn't an actual...
So she, I think, let her insecurities sort of get a hold of her, and she was responding to somebody who was actually referring to the guy on the host set. So I think it goes both ways. It goes towards the males, too. It definitely goes towards the females much more because
right.
It is a image-driven industry. But it's just one of those things that don't let it bother you. Let it roll off your back. Keep it moving.
And do any of you know the GIF of when you bring that up, when the link, the first GIF that you see, the black and white photo, does anybody know who that is?
I would assume it's Lucy.
Yeah. Yes. Right away, I'm like... I don't know who you are, but I love that you put Lucy in this one because I remember that episode, and it was fantastic because I know all the episodes. But look, I mean, I find it hard that you reply to somebody about this and say, look, I have a bunch of insecurities, but what you say doesn't bother me. Well, then why did you reply and say you, like, it doesn't matter. All of us females and males have insecurities on some form, you know, in some shape or form. And yeah, like, if I get any comments, I'm just not going to reply or just whatever. Like, it doesn't bother me, but it took me a long time to get to where I am.
Well, and I think her point is one that's like, look, it's even if you feel like you're not that you have to be perfect, you don't have to be perfect to be in these other skills and attributions and things that you bring to the table should be considered for certain jobs. Now, let's also not kid ourselves. There are still plenty of jobs out there in the sports industry that a lot is based on how thin you are and how much hair you have and how perfect your face looks. I mean, that's the reality of it. So, but I appreciate at least the fact that she came out and said, hey, everybody has insecurities. I'm talking to everybody out there that has insecurities, and don't let it deter you from chasing your dreams, whatever they may be. All right, we're T-minus 1 week from Christmas. By the way, a gift certificate to iFly would be a perfect Christmas gift.
It sure would.
Come check that out as we're here till 8 o'clock. And in the Rue household, we started a tradition about 10 years ago when I was pregnant with my first child. My kids' birthdays are January, February, so I got toward the end of my pregnancy around Christmas and didn't really feel like doing much. And that includes cooking on Christmas Day, because Christmas Eve we put on this big feast and that's where we eat. And then Christmas morning people get up and mill around, and my mom will throw some amazing dish together and take little effort. But then by the time lunch would hit and like 2 o'clock, we're done. We don't want to cook anymore. We've already done the big meal. Everybody's tired of cleaning up dishes.
Donna loves this.
So Donna, I'm here to give you.
I'm waiting for you to say. So you just get Bob Evans.
Here's your Bob Evans. Here's your Bob Evans moment. We go and have. We find a Chinese buffet, and everybody loads up, and goes and eats Chinese buffet, and it's the greatest thing. You go as you are. There are no judgments. If you want to wear like your sweats and a hoodie, so be it. My son 1 year went, and he was obsessed with superheroes, and went in a superhero costume. We didn't even care. So our tradition, our Rue house that's a little bit different from others is to Chinese buffet it on Christmas Day. Anybody else got anything weird that goes into that category? I'm the only weirdo at the table.
I don't have anything weird, but our kids are so young that we're just starting stuff. Like Elf on the Shelf got introduced to our house. Got sent to us.
Prayers to you, because that is a...
Yeah, yes. How do you, side note, how do you handle like going to the store? Because I had an interesting conversation with one of my girlfriends over the weekend that she hides still. Like, because I assume that like Santa and you have to keep those conversations private. It's for the time being. But when you go to the store, you are faced with certain obstacles, I'll just call them, or options, and she has to hide those options from her son in order to keep the Christmas spirit. Do you have to do that?
Don't bring your child with you when you shop.
Well, he's a little bit older than, I think he's like 6.
Right. No, you just don't. You try to find a way.
You do it online. The box comes. Okay. You stick it in.
We do Friendsmas, which is exactly like Friendsgiving, where all the friends get together, but there's no Christmas presents exchanged. It's just come and hang out. And I feel like anything related to Christmas nowadays, at least there's like a Secret Santa involved or like the $5 presents, right? Nope. Friendsmas, just everybody gets together and has a great time. There's always a bonfire and there's no present exchange whatsoever. It is a potluck.
That's good. So then nobody gets stuck doing all
the work. Literally just like Friendsgiving, but a month later. So it's wonderful. And there's no pressure on me because I feel a lot of pressure in present purchasing.
Mm. I don't really have any. Most of my traditions, Christmas-wise, are very typical.
I mean, do you open up a gift Christmas Eve?
No. Well, we have different family that we... So for Christmas Eve, we go over to my aunt's house. We exchange gifts with the family that way. And then on Christmas Day, my mom... That's like the day that my mom cooks like the best meal of the year. And so that's my favorite meal of the year is her cooking on Christmas Day. But then outside of that, no, not really. We do have my grandma gets us ornaments every year. She makes an ornament for all of her grandkids.
Uh-huh.
She did tell me that it was going to stop at 30, but she just kept doing it. Special exception.
But Rue, Lauren, a gift Christmas Eve?
Yeah, the kids will open a gift on Christmas. Right. Oh, they've been begging for like 2 weeks to, because people will send us the stuff, the family that's not making the trip. And some of my relatives who are amazing already have it wrapped, so I just stick it under the tree. So as they show up, I put them under the tree. But, the kids want to open something on Christmas Eve.
I will say we started a tradition. I kept it going because my wonderful sister-in-law, Angela, when my husband was out at sea for Christmas 2 years ago, she sent JT a Christmas basket with small, tiny boxes for every day of December. And it would be, drawn with an 8 for a snowman or having dots for 3s or, every day. So every day he would get to open up a small little box and it would be something different. I'm talking about a little tiny, tiny box, like a ring size box.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept that going. So we still let him do that. We'll hide little clues in for him to go find a little matchbox car or whatever. So we do that. And obviously, now that we do it for him, I feel like when summer turns a certain age, we'll have to create a whole nother one for her. But I think that's really sweet. And it meant a lot to us when Ange did it when he was out at sea.
I remember when that was going on. And that was like the one thing that kept JT kind of happy every day and not really focused on the fact that his dad wasn't going
to
be there.
Couldn't
so
wait
really
to see what box he'd open every
cool.
morning.
That's
so
very cool. Cute.
Growing up, we always went to my parents' best friend's house. And we always got to open our presents from them on Christmas Eve. And so when I got to be an adult, I looked up and I was like, so there's no presents on Christmas Eve? Like, you have to wait till Christmas? And oh, by the way, on Christmas, it's not like you're going to get that much as an adult either. So I'd still like, for there to be a little. But I think plus the older you get, like today I went and bought myself something already. I was like, well, I kind of need this, like some flip flops. So there's, it's like, wait, I shouldn't be focused so much on presents when I buy myself stuff.
It's all good.
We are out on location today at, or tonight rather, at iFly Skydiving building. It's right next to Topgolf. And thrill seekers, those who would like to skydive but can't quite build up the nerve, this is, I think, the perfect first step to doing so. Blythe and Donna have already done this, but in terms of thrill seeking, bungee jumping, paragliding, actual skydiving, parachuting, anything like that, going even in a hot air balloon, which would terrify the living.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. Don't put me in a basket with the flame over my head and go, it's fine. Everything's fine. There's nothing fine about any of that.
My friend's husband proposed that way, and I was like, what if she had like a problem?
I couldn't do it. So
or said no, then you're stuck up there.
So this indoor skydiving, is this the most adventurous thing you've ever done?
I've done parasailing before. I would never do bungee jumping. I'm maybe on skydiving, but I would more, there's, I forget what it's called, but it's in, it's like something gliding where you like run off a mountain.
Hang gliding?
Hang gliding.
Is
I
that
would,
what it
I
is?
Would do that. That yeah. looks fun. But I would definitely go with somebody to do that.
Where that guy forgot to get hooked.
That was in Sweden.
It was like hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
After seeing that video, absolutely not.
No.
No. What about, it's over the alligator farm.
Zip lining.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I've done that a few times.
I think I could do that.
I've done parasailing in Hawaii and scuba diving in multiple places.
That's cool. That's risky.
Is
I mean, that's
awesome.
Like a thrill type thing.
Yeah, but
right?
once you get good enough at it to where you can balance yourself in the water to where you're floating just like the fish are, it's so great. And especially the places I've been, like the Keys and the Bahamas.
You see so many things.
Yeah, gorgeous water and the reefs and all that.
Picture perfect.
Yeah. Nowadays, though, like the older I get, the more I realize all the fear that goes along with these things. I would never go skydiving or bungee jumping or any of that stuff.
I like to think I'm brave, and then I'm like, I think I'm okay. I don't have to do all that.
I'm brave like I want to hike a mountain.
Yeah.
That sounds safe and adventurous.
Yeah.
All in one.
Sometimes. I mean, there's some crazy
stuff.
All
I just think of, what is it, the episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Trevor goes bungee jumping and he's like, will you marry me?
And smash and he dies.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. How horrible was that? That's ridiculous.
That was a terrible episode, so that's why I wouldn't.
Yeah, we want to help give you a rush, an adrenaline rush, and we're going to do that. For the next hour until 8 o'clock, you have the chance to win a 4-pack to iFly. And how you do that, all you have to do is text in your first and last name to 641-1010. So entries between now and 8 o'clock will all go into a bucket. We'll draw a name, and one of our wonderful producers back at 1010 will let you know if you're the winner. That, again, that is a family 4-pack. Yeah, family means whoever you want and three other people, I suppose, to come check out iFly. I promise you, if you've had any desire ever to skydive or do anything close to it, this is the perfect place for you. And they make it very easy. I mean, essentially, I hate to say they dumb it down, but they walk you through the steps. You put on the gear. You go. There's a trainer in there with you. It seems to be a very safe experience. And look, Donna and Blythe still—they survived. They did it. So they
I want to go again.
They can
let
speak
me go
to that. All right, back to the Jaguars when Ashlyn Sullivan joins us here on Dreamfinders Home. Excuse me, Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Home on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes,
presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products
on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Ashlyn Sullivan from Jaguars.com joined us now, digital reporter and host. Ashlyn, the Jaguars 16-13 loss to the Redskins, I think for most fans went over okay because they know about the draft pick, but how did it feel in the locker room after the game?
It was a little bit of mixed emotion, to be honest. Some guys were upset about the loss. Some guys were a little more casual. I think a lot of guys are still trying to play to win. I mean, when you ask the players about draft order, they don't want to hear about the draft. The coaches don't want to hear about the draft. Dave Caldwell doesn't want to hear about the draft. They want to hear about this season and winning this season because no one really knows what's going to happen next season. And the draft really doesn't matter much to these players. They're fighting for their own spots on this roster right now and their own jobs. So whenever you ask a guy about the draft, that's the last thing they want to hear, and that's the last thing they want to talk about.
Ashlyn, what did you make of Jalen Ramsey's comments after the game regarding him essentially not being worried about really anybody else?
I think it's taken totally out of context. I think it was taken out of context last week. I think it was taken out of context in the locker room against the Tennessee Titans. When he says that he's only worried about himself, obviously he's worried about his own contract and his own job, but he's talking about doing his own job regarding being a cornerback and only being able to take advantage of the opportunities when they're thrown his direction. So
Pro Football Talk and all of these national websites that tweet out, oh, I'm only worried about himself. If you listen to the soundbite before he says that, he's talking about doing his own job and just being a cornerback. And I think it's been taken totally out of context. And maybe that is partially his fault because of the Duke GQ article over the summer, that he has extra attention on him and an extra spotlight. And that's something he's going to have to deal with for probably the rest of his career. But regarding those comments, they've been taken out of context. He's going to be the first to tell you that. But it's just kind of the attention that he's brought upon himself.
Ashlyn, do you anticipate any more staff moves before the season ends, or will that probably occur after the season is over?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. And the only person that is sure about staff moves is Shad Khan. I've seen so many skepticisms and tweets about this is happening to Doug Marrone and this is happening to Todd Wash. The only person who knows what's happening within the Jaguars building is Sean Todd. So I've been told not to believe any of the skepticism until it comes straight from Shad Khan's mouth. I don't expect any kind of changes within the next 2 weeks, but you never know what could happen. I would think if they are going to make any moves, it would be until after the season. Right now, they're just focused on trying to get a win these last 2 weeks.
Ashlyn, we've seen how depleted this offense is and just how awful. It's just flat out awful it is and how it's gotten worse. What do you want to see? You want to see them put Bortles in for the next 2 weeks, or you just want to say, screw it, let's just stay with what we got?
I think they need to stick with the decision they made. They made a change to go to Cody Kessler. I think they need to stick with it. When they made that change, they made it for the rest of the season. Coach Marrone said that. I don't think we can expect a better offense because there is no more offensive weapons that they can put in. Leonard Fournette has been running effectively. Cody Kessler has been okay, but not great. You're dealing with an offensive line that has right now one starter on it with AJ Cann, who's dealing with an injury himself with his leg, so he's on half a leg. No one wants to talk about the injuries being the reason that this offense has fallen, but it is. And it's the excuse that they have to make. But obviously you're not going to hear that from the locker room. No one wants to hear that excuse. But Cody Kessler doesn't have anyone to throw to. Leonard Fournette is running behind a banged-up offensive line. This offense, sadly, I don't think is going to be any more productive the next 2 weeks because you're just dealing with all these injuries and, frankly, no weapons to go to.
Ashlyn, what are you looking for? There's two games left. It's been a terrible season. What are you looking forward to in the past two games?
Say it again, I'm sorry?
What are you looking forward to when it comes to the last two games of the season?
I'm looking to see how this team responds to either a win or a loss. I think through this losing streak, obviously adversity tells you about the character of this team. And I've been pleased with most of the character of the locker room. I think the next 2 weeks is going to tell you even more so about this locker room and the character with it, whether regarding a win or a loss. These next 2 weeks are going to tell you who you want on your team in 2019.
And looking at the first of those two games, Miami, the Dolphins are 7-7, but not a great passing offense either. Who do you think wins the ball game?
I think the Jaguars will win this game just because Miami Dolphins, I think they're confused what they're playing for right now. I was reading some quotes from the locker room, and some say, yes, we're still in the playoffs, we're still going for it. Some are talking about off-season change already. I think they're kind of a confused locker room at this point. They lost Frank Gore, their running back, which was a lot of their offense. Ryan Tannehill got sacked 9 times last week, so they're kind of dealing with the same problems the Jaguars are dealing with an inept offense. So I think the Jaguars will go and get a win. I think that's going to upset some people when they do get a win, but it's what they want right now is to win these next 2 games.
And when it comes to Daly's place, what should we get excited about?
I think you got to continue to be excited about the Rolling Stones and the big Kenny Chesney concert. Those are what everyone is looking forward to, those next concerts coming soon to Daly's Place. There will be more announcements coming in the next few weeks about another concert. But as of right now, everyone is so focused on Rolling Stones and Kenny Chesney. Those are the big ones, obviously, coming to Jacksonville.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of people have gotten their tickets for Rolling Stones and certainly the majority of Kenny Chesney tickets, if it's not yet sold out. All right, Ashlyn, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and we look forward to talking to you next week, and we shall see if it's a Jaguars win over Miami.
Let's hope so. Thank you, guys.
All right, absolutely. That is Ashlyn Sullivan, Jaguars digital reporter and host. And, you know, again, from the fan perspective, fans don't want to win because they want the best draft pick possible. When you cover a team on a day-in, day-out basis, when you go to press conferences, you go into the locker room, and you have relationships with all of these people, you want to see smiles, mm-hmm. and you want them to be happy, and you want to have good quotes. So I totally understand why, from her perspective, she thinks the Jaguars are going to win, because the Dolphins, by the way, had less net passing yards than the Jaguars last week. And she wants to be covering a team with at least one more win out of the last two. Otherwise, it's just plain doom and gloom. All right, JJ, take it away.
25, then your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. Just might miss your babies growing like mine did. Turning into moms and dads, next thing you know, you better have a 50 years is there in bed. And you pray and God
good
takes
choice.
You
good choice. That is an artist coming to Daly's Place, and you can win tonight's Peterborough Chocolate Deal by texting in to the 1010 XL text line, 641-1010, the text line, of course, driven by Duval Ford. Another giveaway that we have tonight going on the text line, the iFly 4-pack. But, of course, if you know the name of the song or the name of the artist, text that into JJ, and he will award you the Peterborough Chocolate Heel. And Lauren Rue, tell everybody about the 4-pack that we are giving away to iFly.
Yes, from now until 8 o'clock, you just text in your first and last name to 641-1010, and JJ back in the studio after the 8 o'clock. The clock hits 8 o'clock, that makes sense. Too much iFly going on up in this place. We'll choose a winner. First and last name is all you got to send in. And you walk away with a family 4-pack to come check this thing out. It's pretty cool.
Keeping JJ busy.
And kids are absolutely allowed. For those who are going, I'm going to bring my kids. You don't know much about it.
Yep.
iFlyWorld.com looks like that's their website. But we're talking little bitties. Like, there was one in here toddling around, probably 3 years old, mm-hmm. That they have the right kind of equipment for and will take in and have the experience. If your kid will let that happen.
Yeah, and right now the kind of new person experiences are over in the... the guest experiences. Yeah. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. And the instructors are enjoying themselves in there now. And obviously, they are very experienced. So it's so much fun to watch them really have a blast in there. All right, Lauren Rue, tell us about the latest when it comes to the injuries.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Yeah, can I just say, everybody? Will that work? Sure. Can I just tell you who's not on the injury report? Because that seems to be the easiest way to do this. Look, every Tuesday when we talk, it's before the team actually sends out an updated injury report. But we know over the weekend that Leonard Fournette came out with a foot. Whether or not he'll be available come Sunday against the Dolphins, that's still to be determined. Remind me, who was the last person to go on IR?
Ronnie Harrison.
Thank you very much.
Rookie safety.
Thank you. That just happened yesterday. We found that out at the end of midday. Chalk, so Ronnie Harrison adds to the long list of Jacksonville Jaguars who find themselves on the IR for the remainder of the season.
And a couple, this is not injury related, but a couple moves were made to the Jaguars practice squad today because two guys that were on the practice squad were actually claimed by other teams, wide receiver Alan Lazard and running back Bo Scarborough. Of course, everybody knows Bo Scarborough from Alabama. They were both claimed by other teams. I believe the Packers claimed Lazard, and I forget who claimed Bo Scarborough.
And everybody knows who Alan Lazard is from Iowa State. Come on now.
Seattle?
JJ says
yeah,
Seattle.
That's it. You said my ear. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, thank you. Sorry, with this wind tunnel going, sometimes it is a little difficult to hear in here. But yeah, so both of those guys getting to move on and, could be elevated to active. They were signed to active rosters. That's how you get off the practice squad. So there you go. All right, when we come back, we are going to discuss a mama who tried to play matchmaker and some NFL playoff talk. You're listening to Helmets and Heels built by Dreamfinders Homes live from iFly, the indoor skydiving facility at the Town Center on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels built by Dreamfinders Homes,
presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products
on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. We are live from the brand new iFly Indoor Skydiving, right next to Topgolf at the Town Center. We will have Aaron join us. He is the senior instructor who is currently right now watching over his instructors as they are learning more. He will join us in the next segment. But first, ladies, I came upon this story on MSN about a mother who ran into, bumped into at a store, at a grocery store, a couple of current students at UT San Antonio. And she got to talking to them and then casually mentioned that her son goes there and that he's single and if they would like to meet him, see him, whatever it was. And so one of the girls thought the story was so adorable that she reached out on Twitter and was like, hey, I don't know who you are, but I'd love to meet you. And so it seems like the mom has gone above and beyond to try to matchmake for her son. Is this something you would do as a mother, Rue, or is this something that you would find attractive to the other ladies?
Right. So one of my fears in life is to get a horrible daughter-in-law. And because I have a son, that's a very good possibility, right? If he picks a horrible person to spend the rest of his life with.
But they're supposed to find someone that's just like you, right?
Which is also terrifying at times. Let's just be honest here. So would I ever set my son up? Oof. I don't know. I mean, look, the Italian mothers, raising my hand here, have been known to be bossy and pushy and find themselves and try to make things easy for their kids. And, oh, you'd make the perfect wife for my... But I don't know that I'd ever go that route. Now, if I got desperate enough for, like, I want you to have somebody, I feel bad for you. I don't think I'll meddle in my kid's business that much. Nobody really did that to me.
If he was 40 and single?
I mean, there's probably a reason he's 40 and single. So,
it's codependent on his mother.
Yeah. And I hope that he finds his own way and doesn't need me to be involved on that side of things.
Would you find this attractive?
No, I would find it creepy as all get out. There's one thing to be like, oh, I work with this nice young lady, and you get to know her or something like that. And then you say, oh, well, you mention it to your son. And you throw it out there to your son to make the move. But this mom is actively going out and recruiting and scouting. I think there's a little bit of a difference. And I find it endearing. She's well-intentioned. But if my mom was doing that, I'd be like, Mom, you need to chill.
Well, I think you mentioned it's all in good intentions. And so it's hard to look at what a parent does and say, well, you shouldn't do that, because she's just trying to nudge him in the right direction or nudge the girl to him.
But maybe
him.
He doesn't want a relationship. Maybe he's trying to focus on school.
The two of them in the story go on a date. And so I think that at least shows that sometimes fate can happen with a little bit of pushing, and that's okay.
Or social media attention.
And social
right.
media.
Because he didn't create an account until after this happened.
Yeah, social media can make it so much easier, though, nowadays, to be able to connect with people without having to just physically walk up to someone at a bar. When I was single, like in my 20s, and people would be like, oh, so, you know, I know this really nice guy, and I'd always be like, stop right there. If nice is the first adjective that you use to describe the person...
Yes.
I don't want the first adjective someone uses to describe me as nice. I want
Why?
It to be...
What's wrong with nice?
There's nothing wrong with it, but nice is kind of plain Jane. You know, like I want it to be she's hyper or
she's
really
hyper.
Talkative or
she's a chihuahua.
She's obsessed with sports or she loves the beach or she's weird into country music or like something that's like really identifiable and totally
Not
speaks
a generic
to my
term.
Character. Right. Mm-hmm. And I may be nice to most people, but, like, in my everyday life, I feel like, you know, I want it to be a different adjective that when people know me better. So as soon as they would start down that path, like, if someone said funny, like, if you're saying, hey, I've got a guy that's really funny for you, the first thing I'm going to think is, like, all right, when I want to meet this person, I want him to make me laugh and see where it goes, right? But nice, it's like, oh, gosh, now you just don't have anything nice to say about or anything really truly that brands the person. Am Aww. I wrong?
I've never put that much thought into it.
That's because you were married young.
But I think nice is nice. I don't know.
Boring term. It is. You're right.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing as sweet? Oh, this guy's really sweet.
Ooh, you might want to
Is that worse?
I don't know.
That's worse.
Man.
Y'all are terrible.
No, I think sweet's fine. Nice
is like, sweet
she's
is
a really
good.
Nice person. It's like, she's boring then, or he's boring. That's why I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
There's got to be more than tank than just nice.
But no, I do really think nice.
She's really weird.
Yeah. Quirky.
I think you'll like
quirky,
her, right?
Quirky. If the person's really quirky, then that makes sense. But I think you have to know something about the person. Let's say, like my mom's friend one time, my cousin was over and my mom's friend's daughter at the time was single. And so she sees this attractive young man and she starts asking him like, oh, so where do you live? Oh, you both live in the same city. Oh, interesting. But she doesn't say anything about her daughter at this point. And then at the very end, after she's kind of, you know, interrogating him in a very wonderful fashion, he was like, yeah, no, I'm sort of kind of with somebody, blah, blah, blah. But the point of the story is if he had been single, I think they might have ended up like meeting because of the fact that the mom was bringing these two
right.
people who are strangers on a giant campus together. And I think that there can be some good things that happen, even if they just end up as friends.
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, you know, my son's only six, so that's good. I like that I don't have to worry about this for many years.
So both of you moms would be perfectly okay with doing this.
No.
But you wouldn't be okay with telling Blake Bortles that he lost his job.
No, I...
Oh, I would tell it to his face. I would say, you lost your job years ago, but...
Y'all both said you wouldn't tell him.
No. I definitely wouldn't. And I didn't... No, no,
I don't
no.
remember that question last
week when we talked about the mom sending the screenshot.
Yeah. No, no, no.
I would. He'd let him handle it himself.
Yeah. No, and I'm not saying I would set my son up either. I'm not saying either one of them. I told you, I hope not to meddle in my kids' business ever when they become adults. I expect them to take care of themselves and... not need mom to help them out unless they're asked. And that also rings true with coddling my 25-year-old who's a paid professional and jumping at the opportunity to tell him things that he can find out on his own. Absolutely not. No way. I'm not sending my son. Mm-mm.
Plus, I've seen, you know, my brothers back in the day and the way that, you know, if the mom doesn't like the girl... The more you fight it, the more the girl stays around.
Yes.
So you just leave it be and let them figure out what train wreck they're going to get themselves into.
Bingo.
So
to make it worse.
I'm going to have to try whenever that happens. what time?
Some guys are not like super flirtatious, you know, or super outgoing. So I think whether it's a mom or whether it's a friend, I think a little nudge can be a good thing.
I think there's a big difference, though, between a friend nudge and a mom nudge. That mom is ready for grandkids. That means she's going to be real pushy.
Although
she's real in your business.
She looks very young.
I think that's the girl that he goes on the date with.
The
mom.
Son is
that's
in
not
college.
The mom?
No, that's not the mom.
He's like 22 years old. He has plenty of time to settle down.
Yeah, she's. I think that's intense. Yeah, but if the mom comes across somebody that she doesn't think her son will meet on a regular basis and she kind of throws it out there, then I think... As long as she's not saying, like, you two need to date, and she's saying, I just want you two to meet, then I think that's fine.
I'd be like, nah, Mom, you need to chill.
Well, the Jags are meeting an end. That's what we do know. They're meeting an end. The season has two games left.
Thank God.
So what? The Jags aren't in it. Who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for anybody? Will you watch the playoffs? What will happen, Blythe?
I'm definitely watching. Watching other NFL games is much more enjoyable than watching my own team. Particularly, I'm rooting for the Chargers, just because I like rooting for chaos. Nobody really expected them to win. Mm-hmm. They're kind of the joke of the league when it comes to, quote unquote, I don't want to blame the fans because their team was taken from them, but their stadium issues, not getting the stadium built, they're playing currently in a soccer stadium. I would love to see the AFC Championship run through, what is it, StubHub Field? I think that's what it's called.
Right, StubHub Center, I think.
So it's a soccer stadium.
Even though that means cheering for Gus Bradley?
No, I'm cheering for the Chargers. I've always really liked Philip Rivers. I think he's having on his ninth kid now. His wife is pregnant with their ninth child. I don't know how she continues to do it. I've always really liked their team. They have a lot of depth. They have great leadership. And Gus Bradley's fine as a coordinator, just not as a head coach of my football team. But I would love to see the Chargers, you know, make some moves in the off, not in the offseason, but during the playoffs, especially if you get to see Roger Goodell at the AFC Championship game. I think that would be fantastic.
Are y'all safe? The wind's getting louder.
The instructors, man. The instructors are teaching.
The instructors get there and turn up this G-force so they can get in there and do all these, what is it, like the Matrix? Does it remind you of the Matrix?
Yeah,
the way they're flipped upside down like this?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we may sound like we're inside of a vacuum tube, but
what is
we
the
are
ceiling made out of for the two of you who have been in there?
It's graded. It's like a wind flow.
So, like, if you hit it.
I told you, it's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with the fan.
It's a lot like the bottom where you kind of just bounce off.
Okay.
It has a lot of give to it. Okay. I have the video of mine, so I'll tweet that out later once my phone I'm
but
on.
You don't if you're a first timer you don't go all the way up to the top.
No,
you have to be very experienced to go all the way up to the top.
I'm cheering for the Saints.
Saints, okay.
In
2000, I'm worried about the Saints because they're starting to drift kind of like
but
what the Chargers normally do, but they're still winning.
And I'm not gonna sit here and break down the Saints as far as like why I want them to win. Other than in 2009 or 2010, I forget which year they won. I think it was the 2009 season, and then the Super Bowl would have been in 2010. I told my boss the Saints were going to win the Super Bowl, and he laughed at me. Patriots fan. No offense, Donna.
But he had that New England attitude, you know, that Boston sports are the be all end all, which is understandable. But anyway, I told him that. He laughed at me. Right. I don't group you in there. But so when the Saints won the Super Bowl, I was like, hey, which of course, little did he know that it would lead to a career, not that specific moment, but eventually leaving the company and going into sports talk radio. But I have always had an affinity for the Saints because I got to do the kind of I told you so or I was right. What about you, Rue? The Cowboys?
Yeah, so I'm a Dallas fan. I'm not diehard by any means, but that was the team I cheered for when I grew up. And the NFC East might be the worst division in the National Football League right now, and it's still undecided. So thanks to a shutout Dallas having on the road, and then, of course, what happened in Jacksonville, the Redskins still in the mix there as well. And then Philadelphia with Carson Wentz going out. Maybe it's Nick Foles' time again. Wouldn't that be incredible if he leads them to another Super Bowl? How ridiculous.
No, it would not be at all incredible. That is the one team I will definitely root against. Not at all do I want to see this
Nick Foles.
Well,
if you can take
Nick
your
Foles.
Patriots jersey off for just a moment here, it's incredible to think if he is able to accomplish that or at least a run in the playoffs at all, you have to admit, you don't have to admit, I guess, Donna, but everyone else – we'll admit that that's
I do think it will be interesting if it does happen to see, you know, possibly a Patriots-Colts AFC championship game with Josh McDaniels and how he turned down that job in the offseason because he wasn't sure about Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck appears to be back, and the Colts appear to be, you know, a surprise team of the NFL this season. I think that would be a really interesting matchup.
It would.
Speaking of jerseys, by the way, Duval Doom tweeted to us that he was asking if jerseys count as far as an expensive clothing item.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I said, absolutely, jerseys count. Yeah. And so if you have an NFL jersey, you know you paid probably over $100 for one.
I did pay a very nice amount of money for a old school.
Well, there you go. There's
old
your
school one.
Piece of article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Money.
Yeah.
We'll take the wedding dress off and put the Patriots jersey.
Yes.
I, for one, want to see – I like – the rooting interest aside, I really like to watch good football. I mean, that's
right.
And we've
true.
Been
absolutely.
Subject to a lot of really bad football, especially offensively. So
here in Jacksonville,
playoffs,
but around the NFL,
right.
I mean, terrific.
Locally
yeah.
for where we find ourselves every Sunday. So for me, it's I love the sport so much. I'm just intrigued by the matchups and all the other things that come with it. Those people I thought just got sucked right. Oh my God! Right up into the thing and then we'll fell down. They're professionals though.
It's very fun to watch.
Yes. Let me plug this. I know we got just a couple of minutes left in this segment, but we're still taking entries. That four-pack giveaway to iFly. All you have to do is text your first and last name into 641-1010. JJ will pick a winner at the end of the show today and contact you and tell you how you can pick up your four-pack to come try out iFly for free on Helmets and Hills and Tintin XL.
And absolutely. Aaron, who just got done flying around, is about to join us next segment. So we'll have to
he's like, dang, I got to get out of the wind tunnel and I got to go talk on the radio with some chicks.
And I love that we told him 7:38, and we mean 7:38, not 7:32:08. And he's like, oh, sometime in between. We're like, no, literally 7:38. You will be on air. This is how we roll here.
Absolutely. All right, and again, in case you missed it earlier, shout out to the Mills family and congratulations to them. They won $100,000 towards a Dreamfinders home as part of the Take It to the House promotion when, of course, Jaguars wide receiver D.D. Westbrook returned a punt for a touchdown in Sunday's game against the Redskins. Of course, what should you do? Go tour a model home, a Dreamfinders model home, and register to win the Take It to the House promotion. For next season, we've had three winners. Rashad Green returned a punt for a touchdown against the Titans on Thursday Night Football. Last season, Jadon Mickens returned a punt for a touchdown against the Bengals. And then, of course, this past Sunday as well.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk with the senior flight instructor here, Aaron Compton, here at iFly, where we are live until 8 p.m. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010XL and any 2.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back into Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. It is the final segment of the show. We're live at iFly. It's located at the Town Center right next to Topgolf. And we are joined by iFly's senior flight instructor, Aaron Crompton.
Hey.
And you guys have been doing some incredible stunts here. Now, this is not typically what a lot of the users get to experience, but Tell us a little bit about what's going on right at this current moment with these, it looks like, trained flyers.
Yeah, so these are some of our experienced flyers. These are actually some of the staff that that work here. They're all going in and they're working on their progression, if you will. Most flyers start on their belly, and then from there we kind of work on to going to the different flight positions and moving on from there. So right now, you can actually see Kyle is kind of passing through his feet, going into his back fly position, and right now he's going over his head doing a back layout. So these are all things that you can kind of work towards. You start off, like I said, on your belly, and then you kind of progress. Earlier, we had actually done a flight, and you had gotten to do some forward, backwards, do some turns.
I did.
Learn how to do all that other
You're advanced
stuff.
Already, Donna.
Seriously, she got the whole right side of her little certificate checked off. I didn't get to experience that earlier.
I came at a good time.
Yeah,
I'll
definitely.
Say that one.
When it's a little bit quieter, you can definitely get a little bit more.
So how did you get started with iFly? Were you an experienced skydiver?
Actually, yeah. So I started jumping in the military, and then afterwards I had so much fun doing it that I continued doing it, and then decided when I got out I wanted to continue with it, and found myself doing skydiving all the time. Started packing parachutes, kind of like working my way towards an instructor rating, and then eventually, about 3 years ago, iFly was hiring. They kind of did this mass expansion up in the Northeast, and iFly started popping up all over, and they hired me, and then I got a job at iFly Baltimore last. So
and so what brought you down to Jacksonville?
So believe it or not, my family lives down here. And then, of course, Jacksonville was hiring. So I applied. I put in. I met Chester, who is the owner, and I actually got a job down here.
Awesome.
And how much is it really like? I mean, you've skydived. You've mm-hmm. jumped out of a plane. Like, how much is it like this?
So the wind tunnel is exactly the same feelings that you'd get in free fall. The only thing that's different, really, is obviously the sights, the plane ride, and then, of course, having that guy strapped to your back. But for the most part,
and the parachute thing,
and the parachute,
and the
yeah,
on the, oh my god,
gravity coming at you, yeah.
Oh, have you always been a thrill seeker?
No, not actually. I played a lot of video games growing up. I played sports and whatnot, but not really thrill seeking. Just kind of fell into it, I guess.
What's the most difficult part about teaching new flyers?
The most difficult about teaching, figuring out the puzzle, if you will. Each flyer is a little bit different. Everyone has different sizes and shapes, and kind of just like how they relax into the wind. So the idea is you have to come up with a way of a game plan to solve this puzzle, if you will. Each person's going to be different. And what I mean by that is some people may not be able to get their arms all the way extended. So then I have to come up and decide to bend their legs, and that kind of balances out the flyer.
What's the biggest mess up you've ever seen someone do?
Biggest mess up. Usually it's the swimmers. So they get in there and they think it's a swimming pool, and they just start flailing around like it's in the, yeah, thinking, trying to like swim, if you will, but that doesn't do anything. It actually does the opposite. And
I feel like the most important advice you gave me was make sure you put your hair in a tight braid. That was like,
most
yes.
important. Yep.
Okay.
Looking out for you.
But no lie, like the smallest little hair I had turned into a giant knot that there's no brushing that out. I just had to rip that hair in half.
We
so
have
I lost
some hair
that.
Detanglers.
Yeah, the scissors. Yes, I know. That, I just ripped it right out. But that is so important for anybody with long hair. I want to say females, but there's a lot of males. And you have one of the instructors on here that has long hair.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. So hair ties, big important thing to bring with you.
Yeah. And don't put it in a bun. Put it in a braid.
Right. Because you're wearing a helmet. You've got goggles. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that they should know how to prepare themselves for coming here?
So usually the easiest thing to do is prepare to work out, if you will. So wear workout clothes, shoes that lace up, closed-toed shoes, something comfortable that you would wear to go to work out, because that's what you're going to be wearing under your flight suit. You don't want to come in business clothes with a collar, that sort of thing.
And if you have a lot of jewelry, you just might as well just leave it at
home. Might as well leave it at home, yeah.
Those nose rings, all of that, just take it on out. Don't even bother.
iFly Senior Flight Instructor Aaron Crompton is joining us here on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Aaron, the youngest flyer you've had in, do you call it the tube?
The wind tunnel, yes. Wind tunnel.
Can we call it the tube?
You can call it the tube.
Thank you. In the tube. What's the youngest kiddo you've had in there?
3 years old.
Have you actually had a three-year-old?
I've had
and
some
I saw
really
one in
tiny
here earlier who
in.
Was not having it, and he was like not going to get in there.
Yeah.
His parents were. He came in for like a second. Do you find that kids enjoy it, or do they get nervous?
It's hit or miss. So usually if you can get the parents or big brother or someone to do it, they usually get inspired and then they think they can do it. So it's a lot easier if you have someone to join them. If you get them going in by themselves, usually they chicken out.
I mean, is that easier to like hold on to them? Because usually for people that haven't been here yet, like you will keep hold of them and guide them if not. But you're getting a little tiny, you know, 20 pounder coming up. Like, how is that? Like, oh no, you're up in the ceiling.
So they can get away from you, but no, definitely you keep them controlled, and usually the wind is turned down. It doesn't take much for them to fly, so.
Right. How long does it take for you to learn, like, all the skill level tricks? Does it take years? How many flights?
No, so like I said, I've only been doing this for 3 years, and the skills that I have, I kind of learned within my first year of doing this. With that being said, you can definitely always improve. So you can always work towards different goals. There's competitions in this. And the idea is you just work at it, and then you get better and make yourself a better flyer. But usually 10 minutes is about all you need to become a level one flyer. And a level one flyer means you can fly forward and backwards, up, down, left, right, enter and exit the tunnel. Once you're a level one flyer, I'm just kind of like the lifeguard. I just stand in the door and I watch you guys have fun. And then worst case scenario, if something happens, I can get in there and save you.
And I do like that after the group has gone, then the instructor will go in and kind of showboat and show off.
I saw the one guy, he was doing Spider-Man tricks.
Right.
Yeah.
I asked him, well, what's your trick? He's like, well, it's kind of my exit is more of my trick, which it was. It was very cool going all the way up and then coming shooting right back down, getting on out. So that was very cool. This is a very cool place. And if you haven't texted in yet, we are giving away a family four-pack here to iFly. So go ahead and text in 641-1010 with your first and last name. You have until 8 o'clock, and JJ will pick a winner. So Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
it. Thanks
and thank you
guys.
For my flight.
Yeah,
mine too earlier. Even though I'm gonna get that other right hand side of the certificate checked.
There
of course,
you go.
Definitely gonna come back.
I appreciate it. All right, more here.
Well, yeah, moving on, our last and final segment of tonight's show. And we wanted to talk a little bit about favorite restaurants. There's going to be a lot of family coming in town over the next couple weeks. You don't want to take them to some lame place. You want to take them to somewhere unique because Jacksonville has a lot of unique opportunities when it comes to the food and beverage scene. And what sort of brought this topic up is that Forbes magazine or Forbes website, they just released their list of favorite restaurants, and Black Sheep was voted as the number one place for places to eat in Jacksonville. So if you have family in town, and maybe, Lauren, maybe you haven't been that experienced.
I have
as far
not.
As like
no, I'm always looking
yet.
For,
oh,
yes.
You've been out.
A few, a few places.
Well,
oh, I have to give up. Oh, my God.
Out of
okay.
the few
I'm
going
to pay attention to my responsibilities for this segment. I'm so sorry.
You have to name a restaurant that that is one restaurant that you have to take your family.
Metro Diner.
That's a good choice.
I would choose Metro Diner.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, or any of the above?
Well, I recently partook in their chicken and waffles.
Oh,
and
welcome.
I have never eaten chicken and waffles before.
Really?
Never in my life. And I have to say, dang, those were some great pieces of chicken.
And they
set
the bar really high.
I mean, not oily, nice and crispy. Oh,
did you get the butter, too, the strawberry butter?
I stayed away from the strawberry butter. I was like, all right, look, I'm already mixing chicken and waffles. I'm not going to throw in some strawberry butter because that's way too
but
much.
But then the spicy sweet syrup, that's a good mix.
Yeah, so I would definitely say Metro Diner because they have a huge variety. But having the Monte Cristo is always something special. So Metro Diner would be it for me.
Lauren?
Depends on their budget. If they need a little bit lower price range, then I would go with Safe Harbor. Not that Safe Harbor's cheap or anything, but not as expensive as some restaurants can be. But right on the water, and then especially like if Brian's just been fishing and we have fresh fish, you just take your fresh fish in there in your little baggie and you give it to them and you tell them what fish it is and how you want it cooked, and you can get it cooked in multiple ways. So blackened and fried, and then you get a basket with it or you can add sides to it. And then it's incredible. It's also good even if you don't have your own fresh fish and you just get the fresh seafood from there. Also fresh and delicious. And then a little bit up from that, Marker 32. Hmm. Also right on the water. The sunsets there are fabulous. And you can see the boats coming in and out because it's right there by Beach Marine. And their seafood, of course, fresh also. And amazing. And great wine list as well. So those are my two.
depending on how much they want to spend.
Lauren, out of the three places you've been to.
Yes, thank you very much.
Do you have
for
a
that.
Favorite?
So if I can remember the names of them, what's that barbecue place
Valley
I like?
Smoke.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that place is really
I love
good.
The atmosphere, cool date night experience.
Right on the water.
Really cool. Yes, big
great
fan of that.
Barbecue sauce, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, they
I just
do.
Ran
they,
out.
And they
I gotta
home
go back
make them, and there's all different options.
What was
and
it called?
Valley Smoke. It's in the same family as the Fish Camps, North Beach Fish Camp, Julington Fish Camp, Pumpkin Valley Fish Camp, and Market 32. All of those are in the
wow,
same.
I've never heard of
and
it.
And they have a bourbon menu. And oh, you can wow. get a bourbon sampler.
Just throw it up your alley.
Yes. A bourbon flight.
So that place I really liked and would like to go back on another date night. I've been to Lulu's Fish Camp. Isn't that where I've been?
Palm also, Valley Fish Camp?
That's what I said. Palm Valley
Lulu's
Fish
is down
camp.
There also.
Lulu's is down there. I'm really trying hard.
I gave her a lot of recommendations, so that's why
yes,
she's
no, and I appreciate it. So we don't get to do date night very often. We did last weekend go with a few friends to Nona Blue, which mm-hmm. was
I
a cool.
Been there.
It was neat. They had. I love mussels. And
that's
they
a grand
mussels.
And I would say right on the water because it's not really a true water body of water, but it's a little pond there.
Yes,
so
there's a pond.
Same as Aqua
yes,
Grill.
There is,
there's water you can overlook.
Those are three places there's that I will definitely pond. Be visiting back to and would gladly have a sponsorship with them and tell people how great they are. And get paid
you have not been to Trailer Park in Nocatee yet?
No, I haven't. I probably need to
have
do that.
Have not, okay, because no. Trailer Park originated in Savannah, and I found out about it because, A, girlfriend of mine's from Savannah. She told me about it, but, two, it was on one of the cooking shows that Brian watches, and so I was like, oh, that
need
place is in Nocatee,
yep.
But the chances of us like actually driving to Nocatee before anyone I know that lives in Nocatee has tried it are slim to none.
Fair enough.
The place I have been to is Barbara Jean's.
Oh, I love Barbara Jean's. Mm-hmm. Also right on the water.
Right, and that's very close to us, Rue. It's delicious. They had pumpkin cornbread.
I think I've been there.
When I went, oh,
no,
it was
maybe not. I
so
can't
good.
They're most well-known for their crab cakes.
Okay.
And you can choose the size of your crab cakes
yum.
And then obviously get multiple. And then right when you get to the table, they give you pumpkin bread and cornbread and
oh,
rolls
yum.
And really yeah. like soft homemade butter. And it's wonderful.
Yes.
That sounds
Tyler,
amazing.
Tyler, do you have a choice?
He doesn't have a microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I'm sure he would echo. I'm sure he would echo a lot
of
these.
Write it down. Taco Lou. Okay, yeah. Taco Lou.
That's
a good
great
one.
Vibe. I would echo Safe Harbor and Valley mm-hmm. Smoke. Another one, Intuition, because Black Sheep was voted number one on this list. You actually get to eat Black Sheep food at Intuition. And so it has a great view of downtown. You get to see the stadium. They have a rooftop bar that you can go on to. Great food, great drinks, and a huge space, too, in order for you to enjoy just good company.
And other places, River and Post, that's right in that
yes.
area that you can overlook the water.
Do
so another good
yet?
Date night. Spot. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Good.
I've only been there once
no, roof,
so far,
roof.
But I was there for a bachelorette party, and so all the food was kind of included in what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So we didn't necessarily pick stuff out. So I haven't been there to actually eat, but I have other friends that just went last weekend to eat, and they loved it. So it's another really good spot. I feel like I can keep going.
There's yeah. so many. Yeah,
there, we have.
So
I've actually been to Extra more than I have.
Jaguars need to take note. Get yeah. some of these food places inside the stadium.
Local one.
I want to try that Valley. What did you call it? Valley Smoke?
Yes. Valley
yes.
Smoke.
Okay. It is good.
And then we did our kickoff show at the one.
Memphis Jack's.
Memphis
yes.
Jack's
oh, yeah.
near you. Memphis Jack's Barbecue. That one was
that
also
that was some of
really
the best
good.
Brisket I've ever had.
And yeah. you like their nachos, right? Did you?
I didn't get their nachos. I got their brisket.
Steve, our general manager, got their nachos. Said it was one of the best nachos he's ever had.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and for people who missed it earlier, because we kind of kicked the show off with it, ladies Donna and Blythe, who both went in the wind tunnel, or tube, as Lauren Rue calls
tube.
It.
The
how
tube.
How was your experience?
I loved it. It was fantastic. Aaron was the instructor. He was so wonderful, telling you exactly what you need to know, what you need to do. It wasn't overcomplicated.
Had you wanted to go real skydiving?
I probably would. It's just... wow, it like I didn't know once we got out of it, because I went in twice. We went in one time, and he's like, okay, let's go back in and do a couple more things. But my lower back was very sore. So I don't know if – I'll have to watch the video. I don't know if I was, like, bent more than I thought I was, you know.
You're also 8 weeks off of having a baby.
Yeah, well, the core.
Which your back core, then
yeah, –
right.
Your core muscles, I would yeah. assume, from the looks of it in my scientific knowledge.
Well,
here,
I don't know how many
like
of those muscles you regularly use, but
right.
they're skydiving muscles.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a lot of fun. I mean,
it
really
a
is a lot of fun. But keeping your chin up is definitely one, because I could see where people would look down, but I'm like, I can't. I don't
yeah.
want to look down because the wind's blowing in your face. So, you
and,
know.
And what's that number again to text in as far as if you want a last chance to win?
641-1010.
641-1010 if you want to win those tickets.
Put your name, your first and last name.
JJ, do we have a lot of people that have submitted their names?
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Well, we are going to be giving them a call tomorrow. The submissions end at 8 p.m. and Donna Murphy will, the lovely Donna Murphy, will give you a call tomorrow. I tweeted out a video, by the way, of one of the instructors doing it. So if you want to kind of get a visual of what's going on in there, it's them doing some flips and having a good old time.
Yep.
Well, thanks as always to JJ La Selva back at 1010 XL headquarters. And a special thanks to Tyler Devitt for engineering our remote
tonight
at iFly. And, of course, thanks to all the iFly staff and Aaron Crompton, the senior flight instructor, for joining us. Stay tuned for XL Primetime with Hacker and Andrew Gibson. That is coming up next until 11 o'clock. For Donna Murphy, Lauren Rue, and Blythe Brumleave, I'm Lauren Brooks. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night.